You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Inc. It's a game design podcast from Polygon.com and the Vox and the Podcast Network. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
Oh, I'm soaking a hot bath, a necessary bath, and it's not for stink reasons, but rather for bone and muscle ache reasons, because, you know, I just got back from E3. And,
oh my gosh.
Knack hurt me with his fists, his big robot fists. He came right at me.
I think that you and I were both victims of a severe knack attack, and almost a like terminal knack attack.
I mean, we got the one on video where he jumped at us and jump scared us, and
right.
That was funny. But then I cut him in the line outside for the
Knack waiting in line for? I'm curious.
The metal truck. Yeah, I was there to get, like, I broke a part of my phone off, and I needed to go to the truck to get the new part for my phone.
Okay.
But Knack just eats the metal, and so for him it was lunch. And I always thought that was really funny. But anyway, I cut him in line, and he fucking beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's funny when it happens in a computer game, but when it's you, it's no laughing matter. When Knack just beats the ever-loving fuck out of
beats
you.
Beats the fucking
in front
fuck
of the LA Convention
right
Center.
Like, broke my neck, ate my ribs.
Oh,
and it wasn't. This wasn't a little knack either. This was not like little, like a toaster with a couple springs on him. Like, this was a full sized knack. And
I think canonically,
he kicked my fucking ass apart.
I think that knack was bigger than the knack in the game.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like video game knack is maybe 4 feet tops. I wouldn't know. I haven't played it. Neither has anyone. But the knack at the convention center was like a kind of a 7 foot tall behemoth.
Yeah, so anyway, he ate my foot, and he broke my skull.
So ate your foot, broke your neck, ate your ribs, broke
your
skull.
Ate my ribs, just broke my skull, just fucked me up, man.
I'm so sorry to hear that. He gave me sort of a, when he jumped at us in that live video tour we did of the E3 show floor, that was, to me, felt like him marking his territory, and I stayed far away from the Sony booth for the rest of the week, because I did not want to get got.
I mean, I spent the whole week yelling at the Sony booth, which probably didn't earn me any friends, and in fact earned me the enmity of this big knack. But I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help but start yelling, like, maybe, hey, talk to me when you get Forza.
Yeah, that was...
I said that 70, 80 times.
You know, I was standing off to the side when Knack first sort of physically attacked you, and I was looking up into sort of the rafters of the Sony booth, and I did see Mark Cerny with kind of a radio.
Yeah,
and so I think he kind of issued a command. He sicked Knack on you.
Makes sense. Does a lot of sense. Connect the dots.
You know what else makes sense? Getting into video game development. So we're going to do it once again, you and me.
All right, I thought we'd talk a little bit more about E3, but
yeah, we can.
The bit organically went into Knack kicking my fucking
and
face.
And stayed there, huh?
It stayed there for
almost 3 minutes of just that. So we can. I mean, if you want to keep talking about
there's
airing
just
your
so much stuff, man. Like Mario's doing like necromancy, essentially hat based necromancy, and that could be fun to talk about. And
yeah.
I guess we have a few months still to goof on that. And
it's almost insulting to me that they're just going to eat our lunch that directly.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's good to have fans out there. I mean, there's all the banana stuff. People are still... There's a lot of buzz about that. I can't believe that is the most successful piece of Facebook video content that I've ever been associated with.
It's weird because watching that video structurally, I was like, well, this isn't going to make any sense to anyone. It's just Griffin biting into a banana, and then the explanation comes after. But I think on the book, it's that eye-catching, those first few seconds, that autoplay muted video content really, really puts up numbers, especially when it's a man eating a fruit wrong. Do you want to do a suggestion from Baby Gungle, who says, we know what Mario is up to as an adult and what he was up to as a baby, but what's teen life like in the Mushroom Kingdom?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So sort of a teen Mario.
Travis came to E3 one day and we did a video and he made a joke about what if Mario had a son? And that shit, like, you know how you get songs stuck in your head? That shit is stuck in my head in a way that is like... so poignant. There's because when you think about it, Mario is my beloved friend and trusted confidant and husband. But there's lots of stuff I don't want to think about Mario, and I'm not talking about sex stuff. I mean, I live on the internet, of course. But stuff like, what if Mario had a child?
You don't want to think about that, is what you're saying?
It's buck wild. Mario is a, and I can speak about this. Because I think we can all agree, crushing it in the dad zone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Mario would be a great father.
I don't think so either.
He's away a lot.
Absent, kind of distracted. And we went over this in last week's episode. Extremely stupid, so that's not great.
Really dumb.
And, genetically, you just don't want those dumb Mario genes floating around in your kid. Even if it's like Peach, who strikes me as intelligent. Like at the beginning of Mario 64, she writes a full like 2-paragraph letter, which already puts her head and tails above
so much
like everyone else in the Mushroom Kingdom.
How much other writing? How much right. more prose have you seen? Almost none. So like. And to devil's advocate, in the positives, mm-hmm. he would endorse a healthy lifestyle.
He's got a good vertical leap.
He jumps real high. I guess that's about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just stuck on the fact that, like, maybe Mario 64, maybe the reason it took him so long to save Peach in that game is because she wrote him a 2-paragraph letter and that dude can't read because he spends that whole game running around going like...
Yeah,
like who? And just yelping and saying one word maximum sentences. Literally, the longest thing he ever says in that game is "Thank you so much for to playing my game,"
which is close. I mean, it's close. Not,
yeah, it's 80% right.
So as a teen, you had to be kind of shitty, right? Like,
let's see. So he's edgier. He's stupider, which is hard to imagine.
I like to think of myself as a pretty good man, good adult. But I admit that I was like a pretty shitty teen a lot of the time. Not that I was like fucking going around knocking over Kroger's or whatever, but like everybody kind of sucks as a teen. And so I have to imagine that Mario did that, but there was something that happened in his life where he made the decision to be virtuous. And the same cannot be said for the Wah part of the family. No.
And maybe they used to be good. That would be a fun angle. Is that
Yeah, I mean, now we're getting into like... dogmatic sort of like Catholicism, like original sin. Are all babies good? And then when Waluigi became a teen, he was bad. That's what it says.
There's also like a nature versus nurture component of like...
There's a lot of elements at play.
Maybe Wario, whoever raised Wario... Well, that's the other side of this too.
Who's
right?
We don't... dad? Like, yeah.
Who are their parents?
Who are their parents? I don't want to... And I need to. We all asked. We all figured out like the best way to get info on this shit is to go straight to Shigeru Miyamoto
just ask
himself.
Him. He's got
and
the
say,
answers.
Like, hey, who's Bowser Jr.'s mom? And then we'll learn that he is.
Yeah,
Bowser
it turns
Jr.'s
out it's
mom.
Shiggy.
And so like we need to get like what the fuck's going? Are these the first humans?
There's a lot of questions that I hope Mario Odyssey answers. I mean, like even just sort of romantically and shit, like. Mario Odyssey is coming up against... This is the first time we've ever seen the concept of marriage acknowledged in the Mushroom Kingdom is Mario Odyssey.
Incorrect. Sorry, Super Mario RPG, there's a whole thing.
That's... none of that shit. Like, there's so many...
Please don't come at me with the Super Mario RPG is not canonical. Please.
I don't know.
Please.
I don't know her, but... What I am saying is that in the mainline Mario games, this is the first time marriage has been addressed. I think Mario Odyssey has to end with Mario and Peach getting married, right? Like... That's it.
It's the maybe
it has to. There can't be. You think like Mario's gonna crash
Pauline's,
the wedding?
Pauline's in the game though.
Yeah,
his old flame, right, from Donkey Kong.
Yeah, there's an ending where Mario marries
it's
Pauline.
Like it's like Catherine. You get to choose.
Right.
I don't like thinking about Teen Mario. I'm thinking about here. Let me hit you with this, and let me hit you with this one last thing.
Yeah.
Think about right now Teen Mario's height.
Yeah, just the physics. I think he probably like wasn't as thick as a teen, which is fucked up. because then that's kind of just Luigi. And like, just the physiology, that's the real stumbling block for me, is picturing Teen Mario's body and head. Like, I don't, if anyone makes that image, please send it directly away from
toilet.
Me.
Yeah.
Just, if you tweet that at me, put a minus symbol in front of it so it makes sure I never see it. Like, whitelist my Twitter from having to see Teen Mario. I don't want to look at him.
I have a suggestion here from Shark Asnibble. Shark Asnibble, who says, Dressage Revolution, a DDR game for horses. Mm-hmm. Hello.
I can help with this. I really enjoyed hearing you try to say that Gundam character's name.
Shark Asnibble? Is that really a Gundam?
Yes. Okay. So a horse DDR machine, let's think about the layout of a human DDR machine. It's an
four
up, down,
pads,
left, right.
Up, down, left, right. What was that bullshit? You will definitely know the answer.
Pump it up.
Where? Okay, thank you. Wow, I didn't even need to... okay, so it's a combination pump it up DDR machine with eight pads, four legs. That's just fair. If I'm gonna go up against a fucking horse, right? Yeah. DDR versus dressage.
Sort of horse versus man. The left side is like a four panel situation for Griffin, and then the right side is an eight panel situation for this four legged beast. That's just math, right?
Now, pump it up did have five pads, right? Because it had a center pad.
It did. It had a center one.
So maybe we take that out, and we'll just make it fair: four legs, eight pads. That's it. That's the rule. God, I love watching dressage. Fuck me, it's great.
What is that?
Oh, you don't know. It's horse dancing.
Oh, that's... Well, that's made up.
Have you not seen the video of the horse dancing to Smooth by Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana?
Smooth, Santana, and then I'll press return.
Well, that's... Wait, hold on. This is important. Did you just look up the song because you don't know what the song is?
No. I know the song.
Oh,
I know
you just scared the piss out of me.
Don't worry. There's that little... It's a great song, but I've never seen a horse enjoy it. And now I'm going to watch this short film. Olympic Games Rio Dorothy Schneider Individual Dressage Germany.
Yeah, so it's an Olympics game.
I'm jumping ahead.
So is the horse.
Strafing.
There's strafing, there's strutting, there's rearing, there's galloping. There's like nine different scoring metrics that they use for it. You're loving this.
This strafe is a riot. I thought when you did that in Zelda, I thought that was just a video game bullshit, but horses can just do that.
Horses
huh?
just do it, yeah.
They can just go left and right. Like a tank. Oh, he's leaping. Just doing a small leap. Oh, it's kind of a cute dance.
I mean, they're all cute dances. The way they move, it can be quite cute.
I'm fascinated. I did not know there was such a thing as this.
So now imagine that set to Drop the Bomb, System SF mix.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's it.
Remember
that's the only fucking DDR song I can remember. It was quite difficult if I remember. But not if I had four beautiful galloping legs. Four big, powerful, strong, furry legs. Fuck yes.
Now the hard part is like horse feet are small-ish. Like they're you can't really put your foot on two panels at once. They're going to have to execute with precision. Also, the way that the two back legs bend in a different direction kind of adds a layer of like...
It'll be bigger, okay? The pad will be bigger. It'll be like a fucking track and field NES pad, but functional.
Now, could there be a fun cooperative mode where you're kind of like a doubles versus situation where you're mounting and dismounting the horse mid-song?
Oh, I thought you were going to say if we did do a horse versus human battle that we would get two human beings set up in a horse costume. And I mean, to be frank, they would win, of course, because they have the kind of like, I've seen some pro level people play fucking DDR. I don't think a horse could move. I simply don't think a horse could move with that quickly or with that much precision.
I recently saw some friends of mine. They have a pump it up machine, and I watched them play a special mode where it was all four of these guys on the machine at once, doing kind of a routine that they had perfected.
Okay.
And
they should put that shit on the Gong Show or some stuff.
The whole situation was nuts. They were, I'll send it to you. They were running up and down and all around and
like an OK Go music video.
That's precisely the vibe, actually. I don't know that you'll be able to handle this. They kind of run in a circle around it. So,
oh, I see.
Yeah. It gets,
oh my God, Nick. Jesus Christ.
It's a good, it's a good video.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
This really is some OK Go shit, for sure.
Yeah, by the end of it, all four of them are jumping on it. For Me, For Them suggests a Pokemon game set before the invention of the Pokeball.
Ooh.
So it's a lot of a sort of, I'm picturing a lot of old traps. You know what I mean?
Oh, that could be pretty gnarly. I mean, we could also be describing like the Pokemon Rangers games or the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games, which are, I think we'd all agree, bad.
Yeah, Rangers, they use some sort of weird tool to catch.
It was some, yeah, and it was this bullshit exactly. And that is even being sort of narratively generous because you know these fucking people started out. Best case scenario, we're talking about a big net or a snare. Worst case scenario.
Oh, it was some like bear trap shit.
The chompers coming out. Got me a Kangaskhan. Oh, gosh. This one's not battle ready.
No, not anymore. Yikes. Okay, so I would like this to be not that. I would like this to be a lot of baiting, a lot of like catching a Pikachu by taking a cardboard box and having a stick holding it up and putting a piece of cheese under it.
That could be cute. Sort of a Pokemon Snap approach to domesticating Pokemon in a very real physical way.
Like bop a Mr. Mime on the head with an apple and then throw a stink bomb at him and then you can take a picture of him.
Something like that.
I'm sorry. Maybe I got too into the Pokemon Snap thing. You just can't say the words Pokemon Snap around me. Because Nintendo, for like 6 systems in a row, has released game consoles and handhelds that look like cameras and also have cameras built in and have made no Pokemon Snap games.
Or fuck that. Or without doing a new Game Boy camera.
Yeah. Jesus.
I sold every PlayStation game. I think it was PlayStation. It may have been earlier, like SNES game. Traded them all into EB Games to get a Game Boy camera and a printer. And it maybe it's the worst. That's not true. One time I did a commercial when I was a little kid. and I made a significant amount of little kid money, right? It wasn't like a whole lot. I don't remember the exact amount, but I do remember it was exactly enough that you needed to buy a Virtual Boy. And so are you kidding me? I think it was like $200. Mm-hmm. Which I was fucking 7. I could have made that shit last for years.
but it said you bought a Virtual Boy.
Yeah, made a lot of mistakes.
I'll say also, like, I think the Game Boy camera was like a good game and good product. Like,
I adored it.
Yeah.
The printer, not so much.
That printer paper, not to turn into a video game podcast, but I think that my understanding is that printer paper is like very valuable now.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Like the paper itself, it's a limited resource on
this earth. Well, it was put on like a proprietary spool technology. That's not a joke. Like the way that it slotted into, so it's not like something you could recreate at home, I don't think.
That's a very Nintendo-y way to handle that sitch.
I love that shit. I would make movies all the time. It's fun. One time I did it while I was at a church retreat, and an older gentleman asked if I could use it to edit out the clothes off of his girlfriend.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I was like, yo, bud, first of all, not the venue.
Yeah, that's wild for many reasons.
It's wild for a bunch of reasons. One, I'm like 13. Two, no. Sorry, let me reverse those. One, no. Two, I'm 13. Three, I'm over here trying to sing, you know, Our God is an Awesome God. Yeah. And you're like, can you fucking
Photoshop
Photoshop off my girlfriend's clothes using the Game Boy camera application?
Now, you were, in fact, lying to him, though, because there were, I'm sure, with some careful application of stickers, and you could have made some sort of simulacrum of
fuck
nudity.
I love the Game Boy camera. Man, the music was really good, and the little mini games, so fun. Yeah. All right. How about this one from Usernames Are Bullshit? Fuck yeah. Fuck this whole
like that
world.
Attitude.
Fuck this system. The next COD introduces a spellcaster class without advertising it at all.
Okay, so it's not in the market. So Call of Duty World War II comes out. None of the trailers tell you this, but like if you keep holding down on the menu, it's like selecting Akuma in Puzzle Fighter. It's like a secret.
Yeah.
If you keep going down, you can get some sort of a wizarding
I got the sniper
world.
Class. I got, you know, melee.
Sort of a support,
focus,
like medic
support
situation.
Class, light machine gun class, warlock. Wait a second.
What's this? Is that a wand?
How buck wild. Like, I'm as critical, I think, of this franchise as anybody. And it's not entirely fair. Like, it hasn't really. They'll put new shit in it from time to time, but, like, it's still. Feels exactly like Call of Duty. Like, there hasn't been something that's got me really excited in this franchise in a really long time. But if I fucking, like, picked up the next game and got killed by a warlock and was like, whoa, what? Or fuck that. Like, I picked up, like, I was reading reviews, like, all the reviews came out. Can you imagine the review dump from people like, hey, so the Call of Duty game, we're going to talk about how it is for a second, but there's up front, warlocks.
We found warlocks. Also, like, I would actually hope that the games press could reconvene in that sort of 2001, 2003-ish way and all agree to keep it a secret, like that, like Raiden and MGS2, like none of us talk about it.
And just that a thing that happened? All the games press got together like, okay, y'all, let's really make this one happen.
I think it was like a situation where Konami specifically asked, like, hey, don't talk about everything after the first 90 minutes of Metal Gear Solid 2. Just keep it a secret. Because none of the reviews mentioned that you play as Raiden.
That would never, ever, 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 no. ever happen.
Completely, again. Completely a product
I mean,
of its time.
I wouldn't do it, right? Like, I'm not going to just talk about the first 90 minutes of your fucking sprawling... What are you talking about?
I think what you, I mean, you could talk about that game without talking about Raiden, but it'd be fucking hard. Like,
it'd be real hard.
Conversely, though, that surprise was probably Kojima pulled a heist on people that you could not do in 2017. Like, it's I look up to that it's man, true. A great deal. What other computer games do we make?
I mean, the first one's neat. I think it's a cool structure for a game. It's from Pan Cook. It says short-term memory loss. Play the game in short one-minute bursts, then your character is passed along to another player who has no idea what you were doing. At the end, everyone who played gets to see the whole game pieced together.
Okay.
I think this could be cool. Like, you're just in a room, right? And the room's the same every time, but the objective of what you have to complete, maybe it's a whole house. And so, like, the first player who turns the game on, it's sort of an exquisite corpse experience, right? So you get into a lobby with 8 people, and each of them start out their own game in this house with their own objectives. And maybe the first player is like, go into the kitchen, make a sandwich with these ingredients. And the second player is like, go up to your room, gather up all your laundry, take it downstairs and do laundry. Like, I'm imagining very normal tasks. But then after 1 minute, it gets passed off and somebody else gets jumped in. But they don't know what the task was.
Right.
And so they have to just be like, well, I'm in the kitchen and there's some...
I'm holding a knife.
I'm holding a knife. So, okay, maybe half of the requests are like, go into the kitchen and make yourself a BLT, while the other one is like, go into the kitchen and stab your refrigerator to death.
Interesting. So you got to kind of piece together. Is there any sort of like Dark Soulsian note-leaving system in the mix of like, is there some way you could communicate with other players? Or do you find ways to do that in the environment?
That's it. Right. Like, I get out the mustard and I'm like, don't trust the refrigerator. I got cut off.
Oh, gosh.
I leapt.
Yeah, I like the idea of, like, you have a cutting board and you maybe carve into it a picture of the refrigerator because you know you don't have time to stab the refrigerator to death on your run, but hopefully the next player. So maybe, I think maybe then you can, like, you get to watch in a sort of spectatory way the player who plays immediately after you, but you can't interact with them or do anything.
Yes. Really good. Maybe something in the house is trying to kill you.
Oh, gosh.
But maybe it's the refrigerator, but maybe it's something else.
It's starting to sound like it's the refrigerator. So the enemy, though, can be randomized, right?
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
Because I do love the idea, too, of, like, you walk into the bathroom and you look in the mirror and you see something carved on the wall behind you and you turn around and you look at it and another player has carved, like, don't trust the sink into the wall, and then all of a sudden it cuts to black. Your turn just ended. Like, it seems like there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of, like, emergent storytelling.
I mean, it's literally Exquisite Corpse. You know about that? It's like the...
Like the drawing thing?
Yeah, like where you draw and then you end the drawing at a certain point, then you fold the paper over and people try to like keep drawing off of what you drew, and then at the end of it looks like...
Yeah, I've played some internet versions of that, but I think there's something a little more... This is taking that idea and folding it into a sort of horror abstract...
Yeah, like as a horror...
Lynchian...
Yeah, as a horror game, like it could be really, really cool. Like this idea, that is sort of like Dark Souls idea, but I think I'd want it more hardwired into like what the game actually is, mm-hmm. where you are trying to warn the people that come after you. And I think the only way that like that makes sense is if there are these like secret sort of prey mimic style.
I was about to say, yeah.
That you have to like try to warn everybody about, but then if you die... Can I tell you one of my favorite things about one of my favorite games ever is Eternal Darkness, and one of the best things about it is it has all these characters. Did you play that one?
Yes.
It's got all these characters, right? And the characters like usually die in really... You get to the end of their like chapter and the character dies in this gruesome way, but like later on another character's in that same level and finds them and they pass the ball in some way. Like there's the there's the character who like is in the big church and then goes to the basement of the big church and finds this occult shit going on and then gets fucking destroyed, like stomped on and like obliterated by a big monster. But he had like a gun that the next guy that comes across finds right. and uses it to kill. Like that shit I'm fucking all about.
It's a great storytelling. I feel like I remember finding someone in a bathtub at some point in that game who was a character from a previous run or something. Yeah.
There was a famous bathtub jump scare from that game that is like probably the most a game has ever scared me.
I think that's why that's burned into my
probably
head.
What you're thinking about. But I like this idea of just like, and I don't know the logistics of how you do it, but like I like the idea of just like a player walks into a haunted house and then of course gets killed. Like of course, like there's so much dangerous shit in this house, but somehow is able to leave clues and leave like little power-ups for the next person who comes through the house.
This is good. This is there's something to this. It's a meaty idea. I love this idea too, like primarily because I think this whole thing of communicating to players in indirect ways from like other players, like maybe we do the Dark Souls thing of you can leave messages, but like we make you choose from a really small pool of confusing words.
Yeah.
I started playing Nier Automata this past week, and some of the phrases you can pick from in that game are like... I
mean, they're essentially haiku.
Yeah.
Like, nonsensical, very like short poems that
don't... A beautiful young boy cracked open a book and laid down in front of the sun.
It's like what? Okay, but is there power? Is there bullets
ahead? Is
there
a boss near here? Like, the closest thing to a helpful message I could make was you can change for the opening phrase instead of being like... a innocent, naive girl. I changed it to I, and then I just made my message, I fell down. And that was like the least poetic one you can make.
So like one of the items I really like in Dark Souls is the glowing stones that you buy for like nothing, and then you can like leave little trails or make like little circles, or you can drop them to like mark a dark path or whatever, but other players can see them if they come into your game. So maybe you just have like some breadcrumbs.
Literal breadcrumbs?
Yeah, that you can like drop to show at least where you went. Mm-hmm. And then, like, if you're the second player that comes into this game and you see one trail of breadcrumbs going into but not out of a room, you're probably going to be like, ah, fuck that room. All right. Thanks for the heads up. And then it's all nonverbal, right? It's all like, does that make sense? And maybe the items that drop in that house will also be the items that the next person who plays finds. And so if you leave them there, the next person who comes through is going to be able to get them. There's so much shit here.
Yeah, we're like a lot of meat on this.
We're kind of rambling around the meat at this point. And maybe we should come back to it because there's maybe a lot of suggestions.
You want to just rapidly move through some more suggestions, but we'll put a pin in this one?
Let's put a pin in this one, and then let's maybe tell people about the sponsors for this episode.
We don't have any.
Well, then, great. The people have spoken, and they said, the Cool Games Inc. boys, they do not push much purchasing power. That's a tough sentence to say.
Here's one from Greetings Fellow Human. Oh, of course it is. One from Greetings Fellow Human who says, Skateboarder Lands.
I feel like it's too edgy. I feel like we can't give them that much. We can't give them that much freedom because it'll be like... Kid in the candy store, just like they'll get sick off of it.
Well, if we set aside all that and just talk mechanics here, like the idea of the Borderlands style like loot chase, but with new, better skateboards. Like eventually, you get a skateboard that has five wheels on it and a speed booster and some sort of, when you grind on rails, they turn to ice, and then the other skaters who are chasing you, the shatters underneath them or makes them slip and fall down. Like that shit. I want to find some perps. Skateboard perps.
Some skateboard perps. Maybe you put spikes on the skateboard and you fucking stab right through a big rat.
Imagining,
and then a dude sees it and he barfs all over the place and it's like, you know? And then and somebody just shits and you see
a robot just a funny
pants.
Fart or something. Could we? I do. You did hit on something. You put an image in my head though with that, which is the idea of a skateboard. You know, like old medieval chariots with a big old spike that you would bump into the other chariots. But I want a skateboard with a little tiny spike on its wheels, and you pull up next to the other skateboard and kind of sideswipe them and get his thing all jacked up.
Damn. That game, I would play the fuck out of it. New Borderlands, though. I tell you what, it could be like The Crew. Like, The Crew does this really well. It's one of the very few things that The Crew did really well. Of just, like, you do a race, and it's just like, your tires are better now. Okay. And your car, like, level is constantly going up.
Right.
As you get better tires and bumpers and cup holders and shit. Like, I don't know that there's that many parts. There's the deck and the trucks.
Can I also, I haven't gotten to talk about this anywhere, and I need to say it somewhere. The most profound sense of freedom I felt with a video game at E3 this year was in The Crew 2 because of that fucked up, like, switching mechanic.
It's so
good.
Fucking
so
good.
For people, you'd be forgiven if you're listening to this and you have not been paying super close attention to The Crew 2, but I walked into an appointment for it, not really expecting much, and there's a button you can, by holding down the D-pad, and actually, no, by clicking in the right stick,
yeah,
at any time, you're like driving down a highway, by clicking down the right stick and pointing up, left, or right, you can turn your car into an airplane, and just like all of a sudden you're an airplane and you fly up into the sky, and then while you're in the sky you can flick the stick to the right and turn into a speedboat and then land like in New York in like the right. waterfront, and just all of a sudden you're in a boat, and like if you land from really high you do a big you sort of sink a lot, and then like you could turn into a car again, just you can constantly cycle. At one point I turned into an airplane, flew over like a skyscraper in New York, turned into a car and got the timing just right and got my car stuck on the roof, and then there was like I couldn't really get off, but I love that I was allowed to do that.
So like, yes, I played this game also, and it was one of the first games I actually played at all of E3, and it rocked my fucking socks. I loved love is a strong word. I liked a lot of parts about The Crew and hated how like hostile it was to play. Like the AI was the most hostile AI I've ever like played against in a racing game, and it just completely fucking wrecked the whole thing. And so like I think The Crew 2 could be really, really fun. That shit is the best though, and they did not even mention it during the press the Ubisoft press conference. Like,
another misunderstanding I had was the coolest part of that press conference was in that Crew trailer when the world was folding over and flipping in on itself like Inception, and the intro to that game, the playable intro sequence of The Crew 2, which is part of what we played, has all that shit in it. Like, it doesn't have like any gameplay ramifications, but it's
the
stretching.
The slickest shit ever.
So fucking cool. I kind of hope they incorporate that into, like, the story missions or something, and it's not just part of the intro in the trailer, because it was, like, the visually my favorite looking thing I've ever seen in a racing game.
Yeah.
What do you think about, since we're just rapid firing here, Hell Dude suggests Cussing Simulator 2014.
What is it?
Cussing Simulator 2014.
I don't know about that.
So it's just sort of, it's you can cuss in it is the thing. You know what I'm saying? Cuss game? Cuss word video game?
I mean, that's just like, that's all of it. The world.
The world is a cussing simulator? Is that what you're saying?
Sorry, I just had a suggestion. I'm going to do this one now. This is from Apricot Ghost, who says Player Unknown's Rat Race, and then we get a poster of the movie Rat Race, which had of course the classic comedy film with Rowan Atkinson, John Cleese, Whoopi Goldberg, Cuba Gooding Jr., Seth Green, John Lovitz, Brendan Meyer, and Breckenmeyer, what did I say, and Amy Smart. A rogues gallery. They are of course on a rat race, sort of a take on sort of the menial day-to-day jobs and duties that we all do that we don't want to do, but this time they're racing for $1 million, and they interrupt, I think, a Smash Mouth concert, or maybe actually I'm thinking about it.
I think it was like one of the first
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, actually, I believe.
I remember seeing this movie. I must have been very young. I think it was one of the first 5 PG-13 movies I ever saw.
So you're racing and these are the here's the great thing. We already have the character classes built in. Rowan Atkinson, John Cleese, Whoopi Goldberg, Cuba, Seth, John, Brecken, Amy, a good 7-hander. And you get to pick and then get out there and random loot every time. Random loot, random guns. I don't know if there's guns in the movie, but there's guns in this one, smoke grenades.
I'm watching the trailer right now, and this cow somehow got connected to like some sort of blimp or some sort of helicopter, it's getting dragged around. And
the cow's destroyed. But it's funny.
It's kind of funny, I guess, that he got also killed so bad. So I'm guessing, but this is a similar situation. There's 100 of them, though, right? So there will be some duplicates. Like, there's going to be like 50 Rowan Atkinsons, just because that's how it goes. Like, if you let people choose to be a Jedi in a Star Wars game, they're always going to pick the Jedi. I think in a rat race game, everyone chooses to be the Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, I mean, there can be different, they wear different color clothes, right? But I think there's also sort of a Dota style like ban round before the game starts where everybody can just turn off a character. And it's gonna, unfortunately, it is gonna be Rowan every time. His legs are so, his legs are so fucking long.
Well,
I don't remember who wins the rat race. I don't remember, but if it's not Rowan Atkinson,
I think there's some bullshit. And I remember there being a thing where like nobody wins or some sort of awful. I remember getting to the end of that movie and feeling very cheated on behalf of Rowan.
Who wins? The film ends with the racers dancing to All Star and crowd surfing in the audience as Sinclair weeps.
Okay, so we all kind of win. The audience wins.
Oh no! It's they end up at a charity concert hosted by Smash Mouth. The band and crowd mistake the money as a donation, and once they see the charitable good spirit they've made, the group are persuaded to accept. That's a good
fucking
message.
Whack.
It's a good message.
It's a good message, but Rowan should have gotten it.
Rowan should have gotten it. He's the biggest and fastest. I kind of like this one. Can I read it?
Yeah.
It's quarter past chilly. Says, tennis with a destructible court. Place shots to collapse the court out from under your opponent while keeping the ball from destroying your side of the net.
I like this. I like this a lot. So let me think about this. I think we might want to augment the traditional tennis court. I've been just like, I guess everyone on Earth, I've gone back and started playing Wolfenstein: The New Order after E3. I think everyone saw that trailer, and like literally my whole Steam friends list right now is other people playing Wolfenstein. But that game has a lot of like destructible environment, like shooting through walls and stuff. And I love the idea of getting to do that with a tennis court. But I think it would be fun because like the bummer about the Mario tennis games is like, for a layperson like me, I can't really tell the difference between the clay court and the grass court. But what if there was a court where there's just a fat wall between you and your opponent that you have to chip away at? Or what if there was a court where there were some sort of pillars or something like that?
Yeah, like, I was thinking like a don't break the ice situation where if you fucking spike it down hard enough, pieces of the court actually go missing.
So you could actually kind of like sort of corner your opponent and force them, trap them on one side of the court while you do a good smash on the other side. Like that's a viable tactic in this game.
Yeah. And then there's trap tiles.
Okay. Could we get some like snowboard kids power ups in there?
That's the most obscure one of the episode.
The snowboard kids? Everybody played snowboard kids.
Oh man.
It's a good game. Everybody played Snowboard Kid. Remember Slash, Nancy, Jam, Linda, Tommy?
I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
Well, maybe that's because you probably played Snowboard Kids too instead.
I played Snowboard Adults, which is SSX.
Oh, okay. See, I was not allowed to play SSX because
it looked too much like sex, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a user named Soul Giver who sent in a picture submission, and it's a Game Boy Advance cartridge, but the sticker on the front of it is the logo for Sweet Baby Ray's Gourmet Sauces.
Okay. I do love Sweet Baby Ray's, especially that there's that spicy variant, but I'm curious how would you gamify it in a way that would fit on a 32-bit cart? Like, how do you...
Yeah, I'm wondering about this.
Would it play like D-Blob?
Does it have to be a game? Or can it just be a sort of animation?
Like one of those carts that just has like an episode of Dora the Explorer and an episode of SpongeBob on it?
You remember that shit too?
Yeah, that joint. Well, it could also be an application, right? To like remind you when your Sweet Baby Ray's is about to expire.
That's it. You plug the cart in. It says yes or no. Do you have Sweet Baby Ray's in the house right now? YN. And you're like, yes, of course, Jesus.
Right, stupid question.
And then it's like, what's the date on it? And you put in the date, and it's like, okay, if you have your Game Boy turned on with this cartridge plugged into it on this day, we'll warn you. I think every time you turn it on, it'll probably just say, like, 13 more days. Better hurry up.
Well, let me be clear. Just as a cost-saving measure, we're not going to be putting a battery in this one. So every time you turn it on, it's going to ask you again if you have any Sweet Baby Ray's.
So it's like a calculator.
Yeah, exactly. So the smart money would be to just get yourself one of those AC adapters and plug your GBA into the wall. Maybe mount it there like a fun sort of
clock.
Leave
it on always, yeah. And this is good for historians, too, because those batteries go and the cartridge is just donezo.
Right.
And at this point, we're planning for this one to go in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, this game is going to work just as well today as it will 1,000 years from now because there's no battery to hold it back.
God, I love this good sauce.
It's so good.
It means a lot to me.
I used to have make a good sandwich. I used to have this recipe that I would do.
Ooh.
Where I would take like a chicken breast and cook it. Mm. And I would put some Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce on it and put it between two hamburger buns and eat it.
Put them right in there.
And I would eat the whole thing. And it called it Nick's Sandwich, special sandwich recipe. And
I'm surprised you didn't Good Burger that one, take it to a store and get them to start selling it.
Wrote it down on an 8.5 by 11 inch piece of notepad paper. Wide rule. And then I...
8 by 11 feet?
Yeah. Wide rule. So I had to... It was extremely large letters. And I had to kind of roll that up into a tube and put it in a poster tube. And I mailed it to the Sweet Baby Ray's Corporation, which is actually a subset of the Pepsi Corporation.
All of it is. This podcast is a subset of the
technically speaking.
Fuck Coke. Fuck Coca-Cola. Fuck Dr. Pepper. Is that Coke or Pepsi? Nobody's quite sure.
No one really knows. I think it might be 50-50. But I gotta say, and I know we don't have a sponsor in this week's episode, so I'm going to go ahead and take that extra time and use it to say Sweet Baby Ray's sweet and spicy is the best flavor of Sweet Baby Ray's, because it does have a little bit of that tang, but it's also got the sweet and it's got a little bit of a hot flavor to taste. And don't get confused and don't get the wing sauce, because it is good for wings. But you want that brown sticky molasses.
You want that brown sticky
Sweet
shit.
Baby Ray's.
I really want to step in here, and I hate to interrupt you, but I do want to say also, fuck Casey Masterpiece. More like Casey shit stain.
Yeah, more like Casey Asterpiece.
More like Casey ass disasterpiece.
Another computer game.
Can you
podcast.
Imagine a day where on the same day you have to drink a Coca-Cola and eat some Casey Masterpiece?
God, what is this, Fear Factor? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's featuring Joe Rogan. Here's a photo submission from Cherubix, who says, running the store, this is a photo of. And there's a photograph of a sign hanging.
I'm looking at it.
Says there's it's okay, to be fair, it's three signs.
Yeah,
the first
it is.
Sign says camel case baby legs sold here,
right? And they are the, like you said, camel case, so it's a compound word.
Yeah. And then underneath there's a blue sticker with a white word on it that says cleck,
CLEK. And it's funny because I think the human brain, when you see something like baby legs sold here, just naturally, instinctively, you start to, your eyes start to look around and be like, I need an explanation.
Okay,
so your eyes go down, you see cleck, you're like, well, no info
more.
Here. What's on this last sign? What does it say?
It says, what's the food? And that's F-O-O-N-F question mark. So
baby legs sold here. Cleck, what's the food?
For sale, baby legs. Never foomfed. Never clecked.
Never clecked.
For cleck, baby legs. Never
foomfed. What do you think about Dean the Koala's idea, Oscar Mayer's civilization?
It's very good. You don't want to try to at least try to generate some
you
sort
wanna,
of explanation for baby legs sold here. Cleck, what's the foomf?
I mean, the game makes itself, right?
If we don't try to make a game, we just shared a funny JPEG we saw.
I'm fine
on the
with it. I'm at peace with that. I'm imagining this is a three game collection, kind of a Jackbox party pack of baby legs sold here, which is like, obviously, it's kind of a cart life empathy game situation. There's What's the Foomf, which is a sort of a, I'm imagining a You Don't Know Jack style sort of trivia game where it's sort of a Where's Waldo where you're trying to identify the Foomf. Find him, and he hides in different environments, and he gets behind maybe in a bush or in a big tree, and sometimes he runs around and you and your friends take turns trying to point the Wii remote at the Foomf. And then Kleck obviously is a sort of a single player AAA kind of a tight 8-hour first person shooter. It's called
Kleck. I mean, I'm into all of this. Another possibility is that we're talking about a lemonade stand simulator, but every time you play it, all of the words are different.
Interesting. So it randomizes the nouns, the verbs, the adjectives, and
yeah,
and sometimes even, and I think it should be a sliding scale, right? So some words are locked in on a playthrough, but then some words will be randomized, and then even further, some letters will be randomized, and that's
this
how you end
it.
Up with clecks and
I'm not
foofs.
Kidding. This could be good. That's max. Baby legs sold here. Cleck wants the what's the foof? That's like legendary difficulty, right?
Yeah,
that's
all the skulls turned on.
Yeah. Here's how this game works. It's just Lemonade Stand Simulator, right? The game where you have a lemonade stand and you grow your empire and you have to set the prices of it and you have to do like market research and get reactions to your prices and stuff like that to try to run this business as best you possibly can. There's other variants on this also, like the Ballpark Simulator is one I actually played in school when I was a kid, and it would be like you would have to set a concession stand prices and ticket prices and basically what fucking like sports games are doing now, but this was happening back in like 1993. Right. So the simulation is the same each time. The demands and the way that you have to respond to those demands by setting pricing and measuring your, you know, fucking supply and demand and making sure that you have the product that you need to sell, all that is the same each time. But
the words can change.
The words can change. So it's like, looks like 20 people were fleffed with all of your clump. And it's like, is
fleffed good? Like, is it good to be fleffed? Fleffed could mean satisfied.
We recommend you chump your silbo. And it's like, does that mean up? Do you mean floomph? Okay, turn up the floomph. Oh my God, you're bankrupt.
Oh no. Oh, you're out of money.
You're out of money. What the fuck? Why'd you do that?
So we're gonna have to also randomize some other elements, like where the UI, the button elements pop up in the game.
Yeah.
All that shit.
Now this game is also sort of a real life version of the time that me and Mike McWhorter were at Tokyo Game Show. We went to a sushi restaurant where there was no English language anywhere, and we accidentally spent like $250.
Was it good though? You got some good stuff, or did you get some stuff that you didn't want?
Of course it was good. It was not covered by per diem.
Okay.
It ran afoul of our expense policy.
Mm-hmm. I believe the maximum is a little bit lower than $250 a lunch.
It was good. But I just, like, I don't know.
You had to, like, go back to Super Potato and return that Famicom that you bought.
Yeah. So...
I mean, so it sounds to me like it's down to Baby Legs sold here, Kleck, what's the foomph? Or that sort of House
fucking
Souls.
Maniac Mansion Online.
Yeah, 60-second House Souls.
I mean, I like 60-second House Souls a lot better.
Yeah, it's a better game. I'm prouder of it.
But I'll combine the ideas. There are people at home like screaming, like, combine the ideas.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, the appeal of the house one is the mechanics and the content and the way that it changes player interaction. The appeal of Baby Legs Sold Here, Kleck Wants the Foomph is that's a really good name.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you leave a message. You walk into the foyer and the piano slides at you really fast and spikes come out of it and you're just exploded. And then you have 10 seconds to search through a list of words to try to put together a sentence. It's like a time. You know how at the end of like arcade games, if you made the top leaderboards, you have like an amount of time to roll the trackball and launch the fucking centipede bullets at the letters that make up your initials.
Right.
This is like that, but you have like 10 seconds. So like the piano hits you and then cuts to black, and then like I want some pulse pounding music, like dun 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 dun, and you have 10 seconds to try to put together a warning for the next people, but there's a lot of filler words mm-hmm. on that menu, so
and the filler words are kind of bouncing around and overlapping with the correct words.
Yeah,
and
so it's like piano, trap door, trigger, spikes, but then like those helpful words are mixed in with like baby legs, Kleck, foomph, and maybe there is a part where baby legs do come out and kick you to death or something.
Right,
that would be useful at that point.
You do find out at the end that the refrigerator is a Floomph brand refrigerator.
To me, that fucking word search component is like, that's the best. That's the meat. And to me, like, I think that input could be different every time. Like, maybe there's one where you have to use your mouse to click on letters on a keyboard, but the letters are not where the letters should be on a keyboard.
Ooh, that's good.
And you have 10 seconds to try to, like, where's the P? And so you get out, like, lock out for PN.
Oh, God. I would like it, actually, if the leaving your message on your bloodstain or whatever thing, there's a fleet of 25 different mini-games, WarioWare style, that all have different variables. So one of them is like a light gun shooter. One of them is like sort of the keyboard thing you were describing.
Yes.
So you can never really master it.
In addition to the, well, you know, fucking health pickups or like bullets or whatever the fuck that you pick up, you can pick up little hourglasses, and those give you like one more second
to type it in.
And it's cumulative, so it keeps getting longer and longer, so that by like the 40th person that gets in, somebody's like, the fucking piano's trapped, don't go to it.
Right.
That's good shit.
Man,
I love
that's good.
This.
Ooh, this is good. This is a game I'd like to play.
And maybe in the input section, you can like, in the big list of words or whatever, you can find, like, there's actually fucking a health kit hidden in the words, and then that'll be at the house for the next person. Or if you can write out the word, like, bullets, like, there will be bullets, waiting for somebody at the front door.
I'd also like a situation where sometimes maybe some sort of small little demon will pop up and will say to you, hey, if you leave this pre-written, extremely misleading message, we will spawn you with, like, way better shit on your next playthrough.
Next time, yeah. So, like, you log in, you're like, oh, man, I'm the 104th player to, like, get into this house. Oh, man, this is going to be a cakewalk. And you walk up to the front door, and there's a sign on it that just says, F-U-K, you idiot. And it's like, okay. In that case, you're kind of starting from scratch again.
Right. It feels like someone did not pay it forward.
I'm not kidding. Like, somebody does that. This is, now we're on some, like, Reddit, the button, like, who's going to be the last person to press it shit, where one person could seriously be like, fucking just leave like nanu nanu on the front door, and all of a sudden all the hard work that everybody else has been doing this whole time is just gone
to some degree. I mean, that would the messaging system, but I think there is still a component of players leaving physical hints in the environment for one another.
Yeah, I like that too.
This game owns, Griffin. We did a good job.
Do you know what we can call this horror game?
I was about
also
to ask, what do we call it?
Exquisite Corpse.
That's a better name for a video game than a drawing game, right?
Yeah. That's it.
Man, this is a great, I feel like this is, it says a lot too that, like, by not setting out to create an adaptation, we've created the greatest possible adaptation of any, like, board game to video game ever.
Yeah. So
Exquisite Corpse is more of a folk game, right? So, like, we don't have to worry about copyright or anything, right?
Probably not. I mean, it's something like I don't know. It's like old, probably like an old British Exquisite Corpse.
Yeah, the name is very, sounds like an old Englishman came up with
it. I think once you die, you don't get the trademark anymore. And that's why every time that, like, you know, Don Pepsi dies, God forbid, but like, if Don Pepsi dies, like his like kids have to like go to the trademark office like right then and get it.
Nab it.
Because it's like, nab it. Otherwise, like otherwise Don Pepsi dies and it's like, I could get in there and I'll be like, well, looks like I'm the Pepsi King now.
It's kind of a mad dash for the copyright office for that.
Sort of a rat race.
Sort of a lot like the film Rat Race.
Sort of like Rat Race 2. And this, what if they did a Rat Race 2 and the posters of it had all the same people, but like the tagline was like, this time someone actually wins the money.
That's all I need to know. Because like, I love that film. I love that cast and the crew. But just don't fuck me over on the ending.
There's people who've listened to every episode of this show right now, fingers crossed, knees trembling, like, please don't just do Rat Race 2 as your thing this time.
Because we've pulled that heist a couple times where you accidentally just make a feature film sequel.
Ooh, I'm feeling good. Exquisite Corpse is too good.
Yeah, that's a good name. Is that it from us?
Yeah, that's it. I gotta go and do some chores.
Okay.
So,
I'm really excited because this week, Griffin, you and I debuted our follow-up to our YouTube series, Carboys. By the time you're hearing this, the first episode of Let's Go to Hell will be out in the world.
I'm very stoked about this new show. I actually haven't seen it since you edited it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see. We filmed a lot, and a lot of it was very appalling, and I'm excited to see how you've condensed it.
Abstract. Yeah, I guess I don't want to spoil the surprise for people, but let's say that it focuses on a different game each installment, and the first one focuses on Super Monkey Ball 2. And that's all I would like to say about it at this juncture.
Thank you for listening to Cool Games Inc. Go watch all our E3 videos. Like, if you like our dumb jokes, like,
we did shitloads.
That's literally all we did all week.
I hope there aren't there could possibly be people who listen to this audio feed only and didn't realize why it sounded like that last episode was so wet. Because there's a video component where we record our E3 episodes. And
huge thanks to Clayton, who makes all the Cool Games Inc. animations, but also edited that episode of Cool Games Inc. and turned it from what it was, which was an hour and a half of just barf, into like a really fucking funny video that is, like, in my opinion, like one of the best things I think we've ever.
I really like it.
In.
I am not talking to Clayton right now because I made a joke about Bowser's dick that he took out, so we're not currently speaking. But I'm glad you liked it, I guess.
So, this is Cool Games Inc. Thanks for listening. Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fine.
Bye.